I'm talking right now.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to High Point Church live on Facebook. It's a pleasure being here today. I hope every one of you are ready to be edified in the Word of God, and that each one of us is going to be able to lay hold of the things of the kingdom of God today. It has been a thrilling and exhausting week or two, hasn't it been? Everything's just in a tussle. Things aren't the way they normally have been. We all are feeling and experiencing different things than we're used to experiencing in our lives. This is the first time that our nation has had something like this take place, that it is affecting all of us across the board equally. And so I think this is a wonderful time for you and I to press into the Word of God and to really lay hold of some of the things it says. After all, God comes first. The spirit is in front of the flesh, and though God has created it so that first comes the natural, then comes the spiritual, we're going to experience things in the natural, but then we need to start focusing in and bringing it home and centering ourselves into the spiritual so that we start speaking spiritually over what's happening naturally. Amen. Let me pray. Father, I just thank you for everyone in our viewing audience today. Father, I thank you for everyone from High Point Church that is unable to assemble here in a building. But by you, Father, you have made each one of us living stones, and that you are building each one of us into the habitation of God together, Lord. So, Father, you have connected us, each one next to another, to build us into the house of God. And, Father, I thank you that our relationships that we have one with another is what binds us together. And I thank you that during this time, Lord, that we are calling each other on the phone. We are praying for one another. We're letting you quicken us in our inner man and woman as to what we need to do in this troubling time. Father, I thank you that faith is rising in the body of Christ, that under the pressure of this situation, Lord, we are blooming. We are growing. We are being edified and built up, Lord. That, Father, this thing that has been set out for our destruction is turning around, Lord Jesus, to be something that is very, very good for us, Lord. And I thank you for that, Lord Jesus. Father, I ask that each person that hears my voice and is viewing this today, Lord, would be able to separate the natural from the spiritual, and know that the spiritual overrides the natural so that we can start getting a spiritual perspective to speak over these natural situations. And I trust you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I just thank you for being here, and I thank you for truly loving the Lord in a capacity that you would take the time to come onto a Facebook Live and join with other people. Feel free to comment, feel free to like, feel free to interact. We have people that are watching now and able to answer questions. If you have questions, we have Pastor Trey and Bruce are online so that they can start answering any questions that you may have. We all have the same heart here, so they can answer just as well as I can in this thing. So take time, interact, and let's be together live in this group, shall we? Amen. So today I want to talk about a verse that we quote all the time. And most people quote it differently than I read it in the Bible, but that's not the point. The point is that we quote this verse all the time, and I want it to be my jump-off verse for today. So if you would, go with me to Proverbs 23, verse 7. Proverbs 23, verse 7 is a great scripture, and I'm going to read it at its face and then back up a little bit. And that is, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Now, Proverbs is talking about a guy that is deceptive, manipulative, and evil. Okay? So let me just read the beginning, and I'm going to come down to verse 7 here. And it says, "When you sit down to eat with a ruler, consider carefully what is before you, and put a knife to your throat if you are a man given to appetite. Do not be overworked to be rich. Do not overwork to be rich. because of your own understanding, cease. Will you set your eyes on that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away like an eagle towards heaven. Do not eat the bread of a miser, nor desire his delicacies. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. So what this is saying in all of these analogies here in Proverbs is that there's two sides of this coin. There's the side that is being presented on the outward, but that's not the real side. The real side is what's going on the inner. And if you sit down with the miser to eat all his delicacies, you know, that good food and desserts and all, he sits there and he's evaluating you and he's sizing you up for the kill. And that's the thing with a person. It says that as that guy is in his heart, that's the real him. Not the sweet, nice, generous guy on the outside, but that miser on the inside. And so we use this verse a lot, and we only just say, we say, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. That's what you hear people say all the time, and that's a fine interpretation of that verse. But it's true, and we need to get this into our hearts and our minds really well, that the way you actually think about yourself is the life you will live manifested on this earth. I don't say that casually. It's really important. I see so many people that outwardly they dispute the scriptures over what the text is here and the text is there, and they're disputing over these verses or over the translation or whether the Greek has been interpreted correctly. And we argue over these things. And you know what? That really isn't going to bring any life to us. What brings life to us is how we really, truly see ourselves and what we've decided about ourselves. Are we powerful? Are we victims? Are we wealthy? Are we poor? Do things come easily to us? Do they come hard for us? Do people love me? Do people not love me? What is your value? What is your place? Who are you? It really is the way that you think about yourself on the inner person. And if that inner person truly believes something different than what we read in the Bible about ourselves, you are going to get the results of the person of your inner man. And you know what? That can sound very defeating if you're only natural-minded. But the truth of the matter is that we are able to renew our mind, to renew our identity by believing God over our natural circumstances. And I want to talk about a few things today that is really going to help us during this time that we're in so that we can start taking advantage of some stuff. Like one, people who are invested in the stock market can be worrying right now. And it's very easy for them to start wringing their hands and sweating it. And the thoughts that come up on the inside of them might not be of increase and prosperity today. It might be according to their natural circumstances they start responding and reacting to. The same thing about the virus. Do you know that you can be so virophobic, is that a word? I just made up a new word, virophobic. That's my word. Nobody else take it. You could be virophobic to the point that it starts squashing you down on the inside in fear and worry. Don't let it happen. You know, the Bible says that first comes a natural, then comes a spiritual. So let's look at what the Bible says, shall we? Go with me over to Ephesians chapter 3. In Ephesians chapter 3, Paul's praying a prayer, and I want to nail a couple of points down in this prayer. Remember, as you think in your inner person, that's the real you. That's the you that stands before God. Not anything that you present to me on the outside or to your family or to anybody else. Well, your family probably knows pretty much the real you, but let's just say outside of that. However you present, you can be saying you're calm, cool, and collected, but on the inside, if you're fretting and you're fearful, then you're actually not in faith. The fact is, you're just not. And so what we need to do is be able to build up the truth in our hearts according to the Word of God. So look at this with me in Ephesians chapter 3. Let's start in verse 16, and I'm going to read down through 20. Look at this. It says that He, God, would grant you according to the riches of His glory, His radiant splendor, God's glory, that He would grant you according to His riches in glory. So how rich is He in glory? He is all-powerful, all-glory God, all of it. So according to His riches in glory is how He's dealing with you, that you would be strengthened with might through His Spirit, where? In the inner man. That inner person that's inside of you, the inner man. So that you would be strengthened with power and with might according to His riches and glory. That's His goal for you and me. I'm just going to keep your finger there. We're doing good. I want to go back and read another verse for you. Let's go to the Old Testament real quick and go to Psalms 8. And in Psalms 8, look at this. In verse 4, they may not have it on the screen, so just bear with me. We're going to read 4 through 6 in Psalms 8. So I'll read, and here we go. What is man? This is talking about God to us. What is man that you are mindful of him? Why are we on God's mind? I mean, after all, He's made creatures in heaven. He's made angels. He's made everything that exists. Why are we on His mind? He said, what is a man that you are mindful of him? And the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than Elohim, the angels. And you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. So, no matter how you classify yourself in this natural world, according to the flesh of fear and condemnation and lack and victim mentality, God absolutely does not classify you that way. He classifies you as being worthy of Him thinking about you constantly, empowering you to have full dominion over everything that He's ever created, the works of His hands, and especially over everything that's on this earth. That's how He sees you and I. So anything that we think contrary to that, we're lying against God. Okay, that can shake some of you up, but it's still the truth. The truth of the matter is you have real authority and you have real power given to you by God. Now, whether you want to see yourself as that kind of a person or not, that's up to you. So if I were to go back to Proverbs 23:7 and we look up as a man thinks. So as he thinks, that word thinks, it's like being a gatekeeper. It's the one that opens the door and decides what comes in and goes out. So as you think, you're creating, you're the basically the doorkeeper on what you allow to be so. And the word heart there isn't like in the Greek where it's cardia, the organ, or the center of man. The word is nephesh. It's the living soul. It's as you think in your soul, your life, your being, your existence, the way you think in that inside you, that is your life, that you call you and your life. So as you in your life think, that's the reality and the experience that you get. Now, God thinks of you as being absolutely victorious, an overcomer. He's already given you his blessings, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Ephesians 1:3 says, as we talked about last week. But I want to let you know something. If you are unwilling to retrain yourself, then who's responsible for the outcome that you get? Can you really blame God? Can you really truthfully blame God if he's given you all of the power? Go back to Ephesians 3 with me. So I'm going to start in 16 again and just keep reading down again. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the, or your, inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That you, being rooted and grounded in what? In love. Stop here for a minute. Being rooted and grounded in love. Some of you are not rooted and grounded in love. It's just the truth. You're not. You're rooted and grounded in fear and anxiety and worry and lack and doubt and unbelief and what he said or she said about me 10 years ago. We need to be rooted and grounded in love because he's given us to be strengthened and empowered in our inner man, that we would be rooted and grounded in love in Christ Jesus by faith. So what does that look like? How do you get rooted and grounded in love? Because I'll be honest with you, I did not love people. I was a Christian. I was born again. I was filled with the Holy Spirit. And I still didn't love people. I put up with people. I tolerated people. I endured people. Because I did not know how to be filled with the love of God. I didn't know how to let God really love me. I didn't know how to let it in. I had so many walls up from my perceptions and my beliefs through being hurt, being ridiculed and rejected, made fun of when I was younger. All that stuff piled up inside of me, and I didn't know how to let the love of God really saturate my soul and my being so that I can genuinely take my eyes off of myself and put my attention on other people to actually love other people. So we have to learn how to be rooted and grounded in love. First step to as you think in your heart. As you think in your heart, when you sit down and get quiet with God, and you sing his praises, you share your life with him, you acknowledge him, or maybe you've got your Bible open, to open up your heart and just let the love of God come flooding in. That he loves you. We have to be rooted and grounded in that love. You know, it says that perfected love casts out fear. So if you had a vessel, and let's just say that you had water in the vessel, and let's say the water was fear, and you were filled with fear. Do you know if you take oil and pour that into the vessel, the oil is heavier than the water, and when you pour the oil in, the oil would start filling up and pushing the water to the top. So as you pour in the oil, the water off the top would pour out because the oil is heavier than the water, right? And all of you know that whenever you make salad dressing, you got to shake that thing up really good before you do it. Why? Because it separates. So love and fear is like that. When you're filled with the love of God, fear really has no place in your life. There's really no place for it to dwell. So we have to be rooted and grounded in the love of God. Because once we are rooted and grounded in the love of God, a peace can really start filling our hearts. And when we get a negative report, it doesn't have any place to stick because truly we are filled with the peace and the love of God. The peace comes with the love of, I said. So it fills us. And therefore, we can hear a negative report, but it doesn't come near us. It's not ours to own. Let's go on. Verse 18. Let me just go to 16 and we're going to keep reading through. You know, redundancy does have a benefit. It gets in there if you just keep saying it over and over again. So, what he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. It doesn't say that God's going to root and ground you in love. It says you being rooted and grounded in love. You root and ground yourself in the love of God. May be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. That you may be filled with what? Look at this. That you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Okay, stop right there, Pastor Robert. That's a little bit too much. This is saying that the me that I call me, that I lived my whatever many years, 32 years on the earth. Okay, did you see my nose just grow just then? I've done twice that. But anyway, all my years on this planet, I have been collecting information about myself. Do you know, here's a little piece of information that some of you may not know. When you were born and you came out of your mother's womb, I'll just go even further. When you were in your mother's womb and your father was speaking to you through that flesh and your mother was speaking to you and you were feeling her emotions, you were 100% yourself before even one day you experienced in the oxygen of this planet. Do you realize that? The day you were born, that second you breached the womb, you were 100% you. What happens is, though, that 100% that's you, you start learning how to perceive and understand, because now you've got natural senses that you never used before to start taking in information. And so as a little baby, you're just like a movie, just recording like crazy, everything. You're learning, your eyes are learning to focus. You're starting to get some depth perception. You're starting to go, what is this world all around me? What is this? And your brain is just recording and recording and recording. And those synapses are firing and your brain is wiring and all this stuff is happening. And you're gleaning information. And stuff happens to you, and you participate in stuff, and you hear stuff, and people tell you stuff, and pretty soon, you start collecting all of that around you, and you shape and form an identity. And then you get a little bit older, and you start testing this thing. You start going out into the world and making a cause and seeing what the effect is, shouting something out and seeing what comes back to you in return. Having an attitude towards someone and seeing what reflects back at you, and you start shaping your boundaries and your identity of who you are, what you're capable of, what your station is in life, how your future is going to go by the way that your past has been formed so far. Jesus says that person, that identity is supposed to be denied. We're supposed to lay that life down. Because when we get born again, we get born again of the Spirit. So let's go with a couple of verses to look at the difference between our flesh and our spirit. So if you'll go with me over to John chapter 3, verse 3. In John chapter 3, verse 3, what does Jesus say? He says, Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Right? So then we're talking about when you get born again, you can start seeing and entering into the kingdom of God. In verse 6, if you jump down, it says, that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. So he's saying that you can be born of your flesh, which is the person that I told you is 100% you. And then you get born of your spirit, which is your spiritual person. Now remember what I said when I talked to you about Proverbs 23:7. As you think in your soul, as you are the gatekeeper for what comes in and is allowed in your soul, so are you. So now what's going on is we had a flesh and blood person who is subject to this virus if it comes your way, subject to all kinds of things in this world. And then we've got a spiritual person who's not subject to those things, who's over those things, who God's given authority over all of that. And you've got these two identities. Well, you're the gatekeeper to decide what you're going to now glean and be. So at first, when you were born in the flesh, you had no choice. You were just recording. Just whatever's happening, whatever mom's saying, whatever dad's saying, whatever my playmates say at school, and you're just recording. Brrr. That's an old-fashioned camera, by the way. You had to crank the handle in the old days. For those of you that are new, you'd just be hitting your button on your phone, okay? And you're just recording and recording. Sorry about you young kids. You have no idea what I'm talking about. So anyway, that was the thing for recording a movie back in my day. Anyway, so you're recording like crazy. Well, now Jesus is saying that when you get born of the Spirit, you stop that recording. You stop everything that you recorded. That program we're not going to use anymore. Now we're going to shift our identity. We're going to shift who we are into a new life, which is called the Spirit of God. And we are going to shift our attention, the soul man, our inner man, the one that thinks, he's going to shift his attention now to the Spirit. And his identity and everything that he is now is by the Spirit. Because the flesh was the old. It can't enter into the kingdom of God. Only the Spirit can. So now we have to decide. Are we going to judge ourselves according to the flesh or according to the Spirit? Who do you say you are? Because Jesus is very clear that the old man is dead. Even in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says that, let me just go there. Second Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature, new creation in the New King James. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. What are the old things that passed away? That old identity, the old way of looking at things, the old way of solving your problems, that's all past. We don't do it that way anymore. Now we do it according to the Spirit. And we're a brand new kind of a person because now we operate not through what we feel in our emotions and our sensory perceptions, but what by faith in Christ Jesus, we let that be our reality, and now we live according to the law of the Spirit of life and peace. That's how we live now. And because that's how we live now, we can start operating with all of this power and authority that God gave us by giving us this authority over all the works of his hands and all of his creation. This person of the flesh can't do that because it's a victim. It's part of creation. So now we've got to get above creation and get into the Spirit to where now we're equal with Creator. Now we identify with our Heavenly Father who's the creator of all of that as his children. So now as our Father, who's the creator of all of this stuff by Christ Jesus, now we're identifying with him in the Spirit, and now we can start exercising this authority we have over the dominion of this whole realm of the earth. Okay? It takes the way you actually believe and think in your inner person. See, too many people take this Bible and they'll take a little verse out of this Bible and they'll splatter it on top of their own heart or mind. And they've got all this other stuff that they've not yet reconciled with. They've not let it go yet. They've not considered themselves as dead and reckoned themselves as being dead to the world and alive to Christ. And so they just take a little verse and lay it on top, and it doesn't really do anything. They're hoping and a wishing God's going to do something, instead of realizing that he's given it to us by Christ Jesus, and that by his Spirit we are already overcomers. So go back with me to Ephesians chapter 3. Back to Ephesians chapter 3. So I'm going to start in verse 18 this time. May be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. That you would be filled with all the fullness of God. So let me ask you this. Is Paul just a blatant liar by writing this down? Is he just an outright liar for writing this down, that we can be filled with all the fullness of God by being rooted and grounded in love? That we can really know what is the width and the length and the height and the depth, that we would really know what it's like to be in the realm of God and to be filled with all the fullness of God. Is Paul just an outright lunatic liar and we're all fools for even believing what this Bible says? Or is this true? And we've got to reconcile that in our hearts and in our minds. Is this really true, that I can be rooted and grounded in God's love and be really knowing the length, the width, the breadth, and the height of that realm of God, and then be filled with the fullness of him himself as I live on the earth and walk on this earth? Many of us have not taken the time to really reconcile what we believe about ourselves. And we're running off of old identity, trying to get the results of new identity. Let's go on to the next verse. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. That's God. He can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And I want to let you know, so many of us believe and trust that God is able to do far more than I can even begin to think or know. And we really do believe that. But this next stage right here, what does it say? It says, according to the power that works in you and works in me. According to the power that works in us. Power. P-O-W-E-R. Power that works in you and me. Have we really taken the time? Have we really believed God? And do we really work this stuff out in our hearts, that we truly are spiritual men and women? I would like to say that many of you have and do. I would like to say that. And so here's how we, as the rest of the world and the body of Christ, know whether you really are believing this or not, is by the manifestation of the fruit of your life. When we get around you, what do we perceive? What do we feel? How do we think? What's our world like when you enter our world? Do you come in the power and the glory of God with faith and purpose? Are you the one that speaks life and hope over us when you come into our presence? Or are you not? That's up to you. As you really believe about yourself in your own heart, is how you're going to manifest in the world around us. Now, I want to say that God is so gracious to us that each one of us are at different stages of believing this. And in some areas, we're a little more sealed in it than in other areas. Amen? So, it's not all your fault. And I just want to let you know that right now, that you're in very good company with all the rest of us right now because we are all working this out. Let me read some verses out of the New Testament that have to do with the flesh and the spirit. Because I want to remind you of something. You're one soul. And that life that you live has been inundated from the flesh for a very, very long time. For me, it's been 60 years that my flesh has been speaking to me and talking to me. And my mind has been the gatekeeper of my realm for a very long time. And I've been saved for one third of that time. And so for one third of that time, I have been practicing. And you know what? I'm like everybody else. There's times when I dip and there's times when I peak. Just like the stock market. There's times when it dips and there's times when it peaks. And when the market dips, most of us are going, oh no. And when it peaks, we go, oh yeah. Well, it's the same way with my walk with the Lord. There's times when I'm peaking and I'm really believing God and I'm really starting to see results. And all of us get excited during those times. Our hope, though, is that as it peaks and valleys, it's still progressively going in an upward motion. So over a period of time, we are all further than when we began. Amen? Praise the Lord. Look at some of these verses. Jesus says in Matthew 26:41, he says, "Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Remember the disciples? Jesus was getting ready to go to Gethsemane. He was at Gethsemane, actually, and he was getting ready to go to the cross. And he was praying and sweating the great drops of blood. And he asked the few to just pray for him because it was really, really difficult for him right now. And they, like so many other people, when you start talking about real spiritual things, they start drifting off to sleep. It's really hard. The flesh really can't comprehend spiritual things. And the flesh really does get tired when the spirit is really being magnified. And so for them, they fell asleep. And Jesus understood. He did. In verse 14, he says, "Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, and the flesh is weak also." So as Jesus is talking, remember in John 6:63, it goes a little further and says, "It is the spirit who gives life, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life." So that life that we lived in the flesh really isn't going to gain you any advantage in eternity. Okay, that's hard to hear. The whole life that you lived according to the flesh has no advantage in eternity. It's only the part that you live according to the Spirit is going to gain you any advantage in eternity. Let me just go on. Romans 8, verse 4. There's a lot of, all of Romans 8 is talking about between the verses between the flesh and the Spirit. But in verse 4 it says, "That the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." Verse 5, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." Galatians says this, "But he," Galatians 4:29, it says, But as he who was born according to the flesh then persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, even so it is now." So, in this example was the Old Testament, to where one brother was warring against another brother, the brother of promise versus the brother of the flesh. And we know those are Esau and Jacob. And Esau was the flesh, Jacob was the spirit of the promise, and the flesh is always persecuting the spirit. So it's no strange thing that as you try to rise up and to be spiritual and to think and say and be the way that God says, it's not a strange thing that your flesh would try to tell you it's not real, it's not true, this is not the way that you handle it. This is not going to make me safe. I don't feel safe right now. All that stuff the flesh does. And we've got to deny the flesh and continue to follow the Spirit. It says that if we will walk according to the Spirit, that we won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. By actually pressing in and doing it according to the Spirit, that our flesh man will eventually shut up and settle down. That's why people fast. We don't fast to try to get and glean something from God, but we fast for the purpose of putting down our flesh, weakening our flesh, so that our spirit man, who is actually there, can actually be heard and perceived greater than when the flesh is fully strengthened, eating all of its sugar and chocolate and running its mouth off and taking every whim and going with it. When you stifle that, push that down, then the Spirit that's there, all of a sudden you can hear him much clearer to be led by the Spirit. Because the Spirit is a gentleman. He will not dominate you. He will not force you. He's ever present, but he only teaches yielded students. That's just all there is to it. And if we won't calm and quiet our souls and settle ourselves down to get rooted and grounded in the love of God and renew our minds to the truth, letting the Holy Spirit share and speak to us, seeing ourselves in the Bible, that we can start gleaning these things, that we start being the gatekeeper of our identity and start associating with ourselves according to the Spirit and not according to this natural world. So, here's some practical stuff for us. We're in our homes. And let's just use the stock market as an example. It's physically going down. It actually is. You can see numbers changing day by day, one way or another. It is. So what do you do in a situation like that? Do you just sit down and go, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Lord? No, that's not what you do. You start speaking faith-filled words. You start speaking according to the Spirit. You start speaking life and the way that you want it to go. Because again, as you believe in your heart and speak out of your mouth, you're going to start getting that result in your life. Right? So if you start speaking that I am blessed and anointed, because I have verses that I can read that says that I'm blessed and anointed. And I get my verses that I am blessed and anointed. That God delights in my prosperity. That God has given me the power to gain wealth. That the favor of God is on my life. That I am blessed. I am blessed. I am blessed. And as we start speaking that out of our mouth by faith in the spiritual realm, we are creating in the spiritual realm, taking dominion over the earth realm, taking dominion over the creation of his hand. We are exercising authority in the heavenly realms now, in the invisible atmospheric realms. We are now exercising an authority. And by us doing that, we are creating a volition, a inertia of our words growing and going forward, stronger and stronger. And as we continue to do that and build that momentum up, the world starts responding to that deep conviction of our hearts. I'll give a personal testimony. If I start tearing up, forgive me. Okay? I'm just a man. I'm going to give you another example in the relationship realm. Because it's this way. It's really easy. I mean, it is really easy to fall to the trap that what you see with your eyes and what you hear with your ears and what you feel in your emotions, to call that what's real. The flesh man, that's all he's got to call real. I understand that. But the spirit man, that's not what's real. That has nothing to do with the kingdom of God. And my wife and I used to fight really, really bad. And I'm just being vulnerable with you. And it was really difficult because we were feeding on one another, for whatever the circumstances was. And it was real hard for me to bless her and say good things about her, because to me, she was acting out and being a boogerhead. And to her, I was being the boogerhead. And we were both caught in this trap. Okay, and our feelings were really engaged, and I really identified my wife a certain way as a certain kind of person because I had so many years of that interaction with her. And she had the same with me. And I was in a trap that I would pray to God to deal with my wife, pray to God to fix me, pray to God to do something. And you know what? I was seeing very little or no results at all. Because what I believed in my heart was that that problem was real and true. I believed that about her because that's the interaction that I had. But this is what the Lord said. He says, I want you to call things that there's no sign or proof of it existing at all as though it's absolutely real. We call it calling things by faith that be not as though they are. In Romans chapter 4, verse 17. And so he told me to start talking about her as being his daughter and as a glorious woman. And so I decided to get this phrase. And this phrase that I created, my wife knew nothing about this. And I would say this, I have a wildly wonderful, loving marriage. And I would be so mad that we would be having an argument and I'd go out in my car and I'd be pounding on the steering wheel as I'm driving out of the neighborhood. And I'm just so mad and so twisted up on the inside because life was not going the way I wanted it to go. It was hard. And he would say, you done now? Throwing a tantrum? And it's just rising up in my heart and my conscience. And I'd say, no. He says, well, why don't you start speaking life now? And so I would start doing it, saying, I have a wildly wonderful loving marriage. I have a wildly wonderful loving marriage. I have a wildly wonderful loving marriage. I have a wild, and then I'd start laughing because wildly wonderful can mean all kinds of great things. And all of a sudden my mind got a chance, instead of being so locked down in the burden of the moment, it started being able to kind of be free a little bit. And I started thinking what wildly wonderful could possibly be. That words are seeds. And they will grow. So what if I had all kinds of thorns and thistles and poison ivy and all kinds of terrible things growing in my garden? I did. But if I started not feeding that stuff and started feeding the good stuff, I could start getting a harvest of the good stuff. And I just had to believe that principle of the Word of God is true, that as I sow words, they will grow. Instead of sowing the words of what I had and having growing more of that on top of what I already had, I would shut my mouth. It took me a little while. I didn't learn it right away. And I'd start speaking new life over my situation. Within just a short period of time, matter of a few weeks, some things started shifting in our relationship and in things. As I started taking my hands off of deciding about my wife these negative things, and I started deciding very good things about her and reinforcing what I really wanted in the spirit about her, as I started reinforcing that, it's amazing how I got set free. How my idea in my own heart changed on who she is. The image I had on the inside of me was a good image now, that my life was good because I had a wildly wonderful, loving marriage, because that's what I've always wanted. And I didn't say my wife is this or my wife is not that, or Lord, change my wife. I didn't address her. She has her own free will. What I said was, I have a wildly wonderful, loving marriage. And I was willing that if God moved her out and somebody else in, I'm fine with that. If God kept her there, I'm fine with that. Because I have a wildly wonderful, loving marriage. I didn't say, I have this so I don't have that. I didn't do anything. I just focused on the promises of God that I am blessed. I have the favor of God. And so I started looking according to the Spirit. I'm allowed to have a wildly wonderful, loving marriage. So that's what I spoke into existence with no proof whatsoever. And do you know what I have now? I actually have a wildly wonderful, loving marriage. And the other stuff is gone. Now, here's the secret. Not the secret. Here's a wonderful benefit that comes along with that. Do you know my wife may respond in a way that bothers me from time to time? But you know what? It's got no power in me anymore. That plant has been choked and drawn out at the root. So when I get an inkling or a smell that that thing was there, you know what? It easily drops to the ground and falls away, and it doesn't sprout. It doesn't have anything because I have a wildly wonderful, loving marriage. I have an awesome wife. I love her with all my heart. She's my favorite person to hang out with. It wasn't always that way. I purposefully created that for my world around me. People, the stock market might be going weird. There might be this distance that we have to keep with each other and all these things. How much validity and power are you going to give that? Or are you going to take this time to get rooted and grounded in the love of God, that you would be filled with the fullness of God, that anything that God wants to do, who is so far greater than what you can think or ask, can work through the power that operates in you. You can have that. I can have that. But we have to deliberately groom ourselves in the direction of the kingdom and the Spirit of God. We don't change people. We don't condemn others. What we do is see them the way God would see them. We speak over them as if life and peace and joy and blessing were theirs to hold. And when we take our hands off of our surroundings, when we take our hands off of calling something broken or no good, and we instead start speaking life and freedom over it, we start seeing life and freedom groom. Last little hint I'll give you, and that's this, that when I was starting to speak life over my marriage and situation, there was no sign of it happening at all. And that's got to be okay for a period of time. You got to be okay with that and not say it's not working. What I started doing was looking for where the Holy Spirit was starting to have a fragrance of what I was saying happening. And I started looking for any little tiny hint that I have a wildly wonderful, loving marriage. I look for any type of little proof that that was sprouting in the ground, looking for the little tiny greenery of the new seeds. And I started looking for that. Soon as I saw the slightest hint of this new seed growing, it was on. I'll tell you, because it was working. It was really working now. And when I had that and I knew it was really growing, I don't care how big and giant the other things were, I knew for a fact that these words that I speak are growing and coming to fruition. I got more confidence and I just started accelerating in it, and it started coming much faster for me. We all have that the seed will grow if you just speak over it and let it be the truth of God. Amen. So, I have more verses. I'll just have to share them the next time we come together. I hope I've made this clear to you. I hope that every one of us are able to separate what's happening in the natural from who you and I are in the spiritual. And when we will separate ourselves from the natural and the spiritual and sit down and get with the Lord in the spiritual, putting to rest the natural thoughts, the natural emotions, the natural logic and reasoning, and start grooming the reality that we really want to walk in. And everything in me that says poo-poo, that doesn't work, I shut it down and I focus in. Do you know it's real easy to see in the picture of your mind what doesn't go the way you want it to? You know what's harder? To see your future the way you want it to be. So many of us are taking our past and overlaying it onto our future, saying, what I've gotten is what I'm going to keep getting. And we need to nip that in the bud, cut that off right now, and take the time to sit down with the Lord, with our Bible, worshiping, praying in the Spirit, however you do it, walking, whatever you do, and start grooming the image of the future of your life as blessed and prosperous and healthy and whole and glorious and righteous and true. And as you take that time to really groom that picture, it's hard at first. Your mind will wander in every direction. It's hard. I guarantee you it's hard. But you're bigger than your soul. You're bigger than your habits. You're bigger than your old identity. You're more than that now. You're more than an overcomer in Christ Jesus. And tribulation and peril and war and nakedness, famine, none of that is more powerful than you seated in your throne in Christ Jesus. So you sit there. You speak and you groom and you speak and you groom and you speak and you groom and you look for signs of new growth and you glorify that new growth. You praise that new growth. You reinforce that new growth and you soon will see a harvest that faith, what was invisible and did not exist in the natural, becomes visible and in the natural. Amen. Love you guys. As you say and see in your heart, so are you. God bless you. I love you. Let me pray for you real quick. Father, I just thank you for our listening audience. I thank you for everyone here today, Lord Jesus. Father, I speak life, peace, in the lives of these individuals that are witnessing this testimony now, Lord, and this teaching. Father, I ask for grace to be upon these hearers, that if they have been under a tremendous load, under tremendous strain, Lord, that you would feed them and nourish them in their inner person to continue on. And Father, I thank you that your word is true regardless of what our outside situation is, and that we can trust it, depend on it, and live it evermore in Jesus' name. We love you, Lord, and thank you for being with us. Amen. Love you guys. Have a blessed day.